St. John chapter 14, starting at verse 25. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe." Jesus said in verse number 29, "And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe." He's talking to them about the Comforter coming. And I believe in verse number 29, he's saying, "I've told you when this comes to pass." What? When the Comforter comes. When this comes to pass, you will believe. So I want to preach tonight on the thought, when the Holy Ghost is come. When the Holy Ghost is come. In the book of St. John, chapter 14, the disciples obviously are scared. They don't understand a lot. And so Jesus begins to try to comfort them. And he spends much time throughout chapter 14, 15, and 16 talking to them about the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus coming, or told them as he's baptizing in the River Jordan, he said, "There's one coming after me who is mightier than I am, whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Now Jesus is talking to the disciples. He's talking to them about the Comforter and all the things that will happen when the Holy Ghost is come. I remember when I was a young person, very young, wasn't saved, wasn't even a teenager at the time. The Lord saved me when I was 16, sanctified, filled me with heaven's sweet Holy Ghost and fire. Praise the Lord. But I remember in those early days of my life when I would hear them talk about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost wasn't talked about as casual as He is in our hour. And just anybody on the street with any lifestyle that come by was not tagged with having the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There was such an awe and an excitement about the reality that somebody had prayed through to the Holy Ghost. As a small boy, I would hear that, and I would think that God in heaven, which is the reality of it, but in my mind, I would think they have experienced something that everybody don't get a chance to. And that's a reality. Jesus said the world cannot receive this. But I thought it was so awesome, the thought of somebody receiving the Holy Ghost. And I would just stand in awe. I'd be maybe go to church periodically as a young person. Mom and Dad wasn't in church. Mama was backslid. Daddy never had slid up. Amen. And so I would go periodically to church. And they would talk about, "So-and-so got the Holy Ghost tonight." And I wanted to look at them. I wanted to see the countenance on their face. I wanted to see that atmosphere that was around them, because they've got the Holy Ghost. Then at 16 years old, I found myself in an altar crying out to a God that I didn't know. crying out to God I didn't understand how to cry out to. Didn't know how to pray. Didn't know how to do anything. Just got on my face before God. I pictured a throne in heaven and a king sitting on the throne because they told me he's a king. I figured a king would have a throne. So I pictured that in my mind. And I cried out to God and I believe God saved me. I believe the next night he sanctified me. And I knew they talked about the Holy Ghost. And I said, Lord, if that's for me, I want him too. Praise God. And he baptized me with the Holy Ghost. I found out that that Holy Ghost that was so awesome for them was as well awesome for me. And I realized after riding, living in a tabernacle that's been filled with the Holy Ghost for the last 35 years, he's just as awesome tonight as he was then. He is. And he's still awesome. When the Holy Ghost is come, Jesus said, I have spoken unto you some things while I'm with you. But when the Comforter is come, whom the Father will send in my name, this hour we're living in, there's been an abuse upon the reality of the Holy Ghost baptism. Beloved, just because somebody talks in tongues don't mean that's the Holy Ghost. There's been a lot of folks in our hour been baptized with a ghost that is not the Holy Ghost of the Word of God. I don't know what you'd want to call it. You might want to call it a ghost of emotion. But the Holy Ghost is awesome. If we can contain that in our minds and contain that in our thoughts, how awesome he is. We'll be careful to listen to him when we walk out that door. We'll be careful to listen to him when he talks to our heart. And we will not be inclined to argue with him. Holy Ghost says it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to walk that way. Praise the Lord. But he said, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. All this, he's telling his disciples, will become clear to you after a while when the Holy Ghost is come. When your loneliness and your dilemma and your fear has been overcome, amen, because of the departure of the Christ, and it's going to get worse for them. They're going to forsake him and run. John's going to see him up on that cross and get last minute instructions of what to do with his mother. But the others is fearful and have spread out and run. But after a while, they're going to understand that when he said he is a comforter, they're going to really understand this. He's exactly what he said he would be. And he said he will teach you all things. Not meaning that I'm going to shelve what the Word of God says about teachers, evangelists, and teachers and all of this. But to bring all that together to understand that God's going to teach me through the Holy Ghost, through the men of God and the women of God that carry the Word of God. He'll teach you all things and bring things in your remembrance that you've heard, that you've read, that you've heard preached. If you never had it, you're not going to get it in your remembrance. He said he's going to bring it to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Again he said that to them, as he said in chapter 14, the very beginning, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again. I'm trying to explain to you. Now, we understand it tonight, most of us do, but these disciples didn't understand it. They didn't understand. You said you're going to be killed. You're going to be crucified. You said you're going away. Thomas said, tell us about this. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. But they got clouds in their mind, and they don't understand, and he's trying to get them to get a hold of peace. You see, folks, tonight we're a notch above these disciples right here. We've already, on this side of the upper room, we already know what the Holy Ghost can do. We already know all of that, but sometimes we have to be reminded. So we're going to remind ourselves tonight about a few things about when the Holy Ghost is come. But he said, peace I leave with you. Peace I leave with you. You've heard how they said unto you, I go away and come again, and you, if you love me, you'd rejoice because I said, I go unto my Father. My Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Verse 27, I was trying to get out. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. When the Holy Ghost is come, I would that everybody in Pentecost understood what happens when the Holy Ghost is come. But I'm afraid there's masses that don't. He has been turned into a carnival object of entertainment. He's been turned into a feel-good Tylenol situation. I remember another case. I was saved and had attended a church during a revival or special Saturday night service. And this woman was there, had been saved. The Lord had filled her with the Holy Ghost. I could partially understand her mentality. She'd been living a life of ill repute and in and out of bar rooms and having the time of her life. She said, I thought I had a good time in the bar rooms, but this Holy Ghost is better than all of it. She's right to that respect, but the Holy Ghost is more than making me feel good and exciting my soul. My Lord, if we could get the Holy Ghost in operation in the lives of God's people outside of the house of God, as much as it appears He's working inside of the house of God, would we not have it said of us, they that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. I'm afraid tonight, and I don't want to get mean tonight. I want to have a chance to come back tomorrow night. Amen. But I'm afraid the church of our day is not turning the world upside down. We're putting a little bit of a step there and getting on it and getting on the bus with the world when we ought to be turning this thing wrong side out and them knowing that we belong to a different nature, a different culture of life, and we're not of this world, and that the Holy Ghost that is inside of us does not act like that world, does not think like that world, doesn't even have anything about it like that world. Hallelujah. When the Holy Ghost is come, there's some things that we will do because He has come inside of us. And then we'll deal with some things that He will do when He comes with us. Amen. The first thing the Holy Ghost will do we will do when the Holy Ghost comes, and you know this, we will speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, as the evidence that He has come and taken His abode inside of this tabernacle. In the book of Acts chapter 2, He said they were all in one accord and one mind in that upper room, and the Holy Ghost come down and they spake in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Amen. On over there when Peter went to the house of Cornelius and they wanted to know more about this Jesus, more about this new doctrine that's come across, and God had told Cornelius to call for Peter, and Peter goes and begins to preach to them, and while he was preaching, preaching, amen, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they said, we heard them speak in other tongues. They knew that the Holy Ghost had come and that He'd set in His abide in their lives. So that's what we'll do as evidence that He's come. In another place, Paul laid hands on some in Acts chapter 19, verse 6. The Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. When the Holy Ghost is come, He announces His presence. And He not only announces His presence here, but He begins to walk in that individual's life as they go out those doors into the workforce, into the schools, into whatever area of life that they go in. Something else that I will do when the Holy Ghost is come, you will receive power. Amen. You know, out of all of this, I got these scriptures that I hadn't seen shout in there. Jesus, listen, I believe in shouting. Y'all believe that already. I believe in dancing in the Spirit, but not without Him. Amen. Not without Him. Praise the Lord. But I'm afraid there's a deeper means at hand. I'm not afraid of it, but I'm glad to say there's a deeper means at hand. Amen. It's all a part. You see, we are emotional beings, and we're wrapped up in such a way that we just can't be still. The quietest, the shyest, the bashfulest person, when that much power comes into that tabernacle, that thing's going to move. I said it's going to move. Hallelujah. You can't help it, and I'm one of them. I'm one of them backward, bashful individuals. Amen. I really, really am. Glory to God. But when He comes on the scene, there's so much power there. But that power's not to put in a gun and shoot at squirrels up in the trees. Amen. That power's not to display my shouting abilities or my charisma of speaking or singing. But that power comes to me that I can be something out there. I will receive power. And in that same scripture in Acts 1 and 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And then Jesus went on to say, and ye shall be witnesses. That's the next thing you'll be. You will be witnesses. You will be witnesses. If I could get up the nerve, I'll go witness. No, He didn't say you getting up nerve and going. He said you will be. Hey, He said, in other words, somebody will see something in you. They'll know that something's alive in you. You won't have to wear it on your baseball cap. You won't have to put it on your shirt. You won't have to make an announcement that you won't have to announce it that the Holy Ghost is come. It's a vapor flowing from you. It's like that blue haze they seen in that church. Amen. That haze is not in that corner. Glory to God. That haze is in my life. It's in this tabernacle that I'm living in. Amen. I walk right. I talk right. I smell right. I look in that mirror and the Holy Ghost talks to me and tells me whether what I'm looking at is pleasing to Him to take out of this world. Amen. Because I am going to be a witness. when I be a witness, I have not a lot of trouble finding the right words to form my mouth to say. Amen. When I be that witness, the right words will be easy to say. Amen. The best sermon you'll ever hear on a one-on-one basis is the life that an individual's living. Words are not worth a dime if you're not a witness to back up your words. You can knock on doors till your knuckles start bleeding. Amen. And tell people about Jesus till the sun goes down. But if your witness is not there, it is no good. When the Holy Ghost is come, there's a lot of things He won't do too. He ain't going to tell a lie. He's not going to falsely accuse. Oh, I can't hide with this. He's not going to falsely accuse. He's not going to be a talebearer. Hallelujah. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, right there among your spouse, in the house, at home. You'll be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. When the Holy Ghost has come, you will speak in tongues as the initial evidence that He's come. You will receive power. You will not be a weakling now. Come on, it's too many weaklings professing to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. One of two things is going on. Either one, they don't have Him, or they're not letting Him be in charge to do what He needs to do in our life. One of two things is going on. One preacher preached a message on, will the real Holy Ghost please stand up? This thought may have not have been as necessary 40 years ago. But we've come into a day and an hour when the enemy's doing everything he can, and one of his tricks and devices is to, in our minds, lower the esteem of the Holy One. He knows he can't bring Him down because He's God. But He knows He can play with our minds. God's not going to move, and He mustn't move in our minds. When the Holy Ghost has come, you will do works. You will work. You will not sit back in your pious condition of religiosity. If that word wasn't said right, please forgive me. Teach me how to pronounce it later. You'll not sit back in your pious form of religion and draw spiritual unemployment on the bank of heaven. That's fresh off the press. I had never thought of that. I said, you will work. You will work. I mean, that seems like folks are trying to draw unemployment off the bank of heaven. Amen. I got in, I got the Holy Ghost, and now I'm doing nothing. You're not doing it. If He's in there, He won't let you be still. He won't let you not find something to do for the kingdom of God. Amen. I ain't a preacher. I ain't this. You are saved, sanctified, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and a fire shot up in your bones. You're going to want to do something because He ain't going to let you not want to do something. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said, He ain't going to let you not want to do something. You're going to want to do something. Pastor, is there something I can do? Hallelujah. Senior citizen pastor, is there something I can do? Hallelujah. If He's there, He's prompting you every breathing moment of your life to do something for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Because, beloved, my shout is pretty shallow if I don't get up running for God. My passing out in the Spirit's pretty shallow if I don't get off that floor running for God. I'm not talking about a physical run right there. I'm talking about works for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Here's your scripture for that. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that believeth on me. And he's talking about the Holy Ghost coming all through this chapter 14. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Also, and greater works than these, shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Where Jesus went alone, laid hands on the sea, he said, there's going to be a whole bunch of you folks running around here full of the Holy Ghost, doing the works of Jesus Christ. There is no allowance, there really no allowance for anybody to sit back on a pew and not be doing something for God. You might say, well, I can't speak, I can't do this. I guarantee you might can write a letter to somebody that is so lonely and needing some comfort. You might can pick that phone up and call somebody that needs some encouragement and use it for something more than a gossip line. Hallelujah. You might can go into your prayer closet and pray for your pastor like the woods are on fire and you're trying to pull him out. I'm telling you, there's something we can do for the kingdom of God, because we're unctioned, got a holy unction from the Holy One to do that for God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory to God. And I appreciate the Holy Ghost, but don't forget, he's talking about Jesus. He's going to testify of Jesus. That's what makes the Holy Ghost so beautiful tonight. And all that he causes us to do, because everything that he causes us to do is putting the spotlight right back on the Son of the Living God. Amen. The little babe in a manger has grown up into a man, and he's fulfilled his Father's commission and went all the way to the cross and come down off of that cross. These two men put him in that tomb, but he come out of that tomb and he lifted up off of this earth in a cloud and he said, I'm going to come back. But in the meanwhile, through the power of the Holy Ghost, the light shining on him, every time I shout, I ought to be thinking about the Holy Ghost. Every time I speak in tongues, I mean Jesus, every time I speak in tongues, it ought to make me think of Jesus. Thank God I'm saved. If I'd have never been saved, I'd have never been sanctified. If I'd have never been saved, I'd have never received the Holy Ghost. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. And this is not exhaustive of what we will do when the Holy Ghost has come. But for just a moment, let's look at what he will do. What the Holy Ghost will do when he is come. When he is come, he'll be your comforter. I have to testify of this, because it's one of the most real experiences of his comfort that I ever had experienced in my life. At 29 years old, my sister of 34 years old had been diagnosed with melanoma cancer. And in May of the year of 1986, by December, when we went home for Christmas, she was on her deathbed. Pale, lost a lot of weight, had very long, thick hair, but by then, the disease and all, she didn't look like herself. But as she was at home, we visited with her, and then we went on up the road because we didn't know. She thought she'd live for a long time yet, because we just didn't know. But we made a trip from Foxworth, Mississippi, all the way back to Dothan, Alabama. Had some trouble, car trouble. It was really, baby lost her pacifier, and we stopped and tried to get her settled down. And in the meanwhile of all that, my billfold fell out of the car, and I'm riding on the hood of the car with a flashlight hunting my billfold on the highway in the middle of the cold weather. My sister back home, Mississippi, dying. Anyway, when we finally got home, we found out she turned for the worse, and we made the trip back. But then they carried her to the hospital to die there, for whatever reason it was. But to make a long story short, I'm talking about what the Holy Ghost will do. As is in that room with her, and her breaths were getting farther apart, and life was edging out. Mama told me and my brother, it was just two boys and one girl. She said, "Son," said, "if you want to say anything to your sister, you need to say it right now." So I reached down and I kissed her on her forehead. I believe she's ready to meet God. So I kissed her on her forehead and I said, "So long. I'll see you later." That's not where the comfort came. That's comfort, right? That's comfort. But as we're sitting in there and I kneel down by her bed. The sound of she wasn't on a breathing machine, but that oxygen thing was on, and you could hear that, and people whispering in the room, talking. There's quite a few folks in there. As I knelt down, there was such a storm raging in my heart. I never had to give up a sibling. That was new for me. At that time, I don't think I'd even given up my grandma or either one of my grandmothers was still living. So I'm not really experienced death of a loved one at that age like I was experiencing it with that blow upon my heart. As I knelt down in all the noise in that room, all of a sudden, there was a quietness. There was a storm in my mind, so heavy, so loud. But all of a sudden, it was like they cut all electricity off in that room, and everybody had got quiet. And I even opened my eyes and looked up to say what was going on, and then I come back into my natural hearing. Everything was still there. But what God the Holy Ghost did is brought a sweet peace that passes all understanding and settled it upon my heart. Jesus said He'd do it. He said He'd do it. When the Holy Ghost is come, He will be your... And you've experienced that. Some folks here tonight, I know you've been there. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Jesus said, "And I'll pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He came to me. When she passed on out, we left the room and I walked down to the end of the hall, looking out the big window in the end of the hospital. My wife come down, put her arms around me, but she's a little late. The Holy Ghost had done put His arms around me. When the Holy Ghost has come, some things are going to happen in my life that I'll begin to do different. And He's going to start doing some things as well. I've already touched on it, but He will testify of Jesus. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. When the Holy Ghost is come, in John 16, 7 through 11, He will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. Reprove basically means to convince. This world will not be convinced of sin, of righteousness, or of judgment just because the Holy Ghost has come if He don't have a vessel to convince them through. Huh? I mean, conviction falls on an individual in a service. somebody's being used of God. Somebody's alone in their house and conviction gets on them. I guarantee you, somewhere in yesterday or weeks gone by, somebody witnessed to them. The Holy Ghost come in humanity to use humanity as a vessel, amen, to convince this world. And our lives being full of the Holy Ghost convinces this world of sin. And when this world is convinced of sin, Jesus said, and when He has come, He will prove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on Me. That unbeliever comes in contact with a believer that's full of the Holy Ghost. I said that's full of the Holy Ghost. Ooh, we got to get a hold of that. That's full of the Holy Ghost. Didn't just shout when the fire was burning across the front of the church, but is full of the Holy Ghost. He's awesome. He's awesome. When you're full of Him, everybody knows something's going on. I'm about to get comfortable enough to preach. Hallelujah. Full. You got to be full. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, that sinner comes in contact with you. He's convinced that, hey, I'm nasty. I'm dirty. I'm empty. I don't have all that I need. Hey, I'm saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost. I come in the presence of a man of God here a few years ago when I got under conviction. Brother Bill Prescott, you know it, don't you? Amen. I believe he is a man of God. Y'all know him. Well, if you meet him, he's a man of God. He is a Bible-teaching man of God. First time I met him, I walked up to him, shook his hand, hugged his neck, and I backed up and within my heart and said, ooh, I don't think I prayed enough this morning. Why? He was full of the Holy Ghost. Well, brother, wasn't you full? I wasn't as full as I was wanting to be. Huh? I was convinced. What little ounce of me hadn't really committed that day, I was convinced. I can get closer. I was convinced I can walk closer to God. I was convinced I can get deeper into Him. He said, he'll convince the world of sin. They'll know in your presence. As the story is told of Smith Wigglesworth, guy was on a train and he decided to go to the restroom, went and washed his hands and whatever, and decided while he's in there, I'm going to pray a little while. So he prayed a little while. The Holy Ghost got to moving. He come out, didn't say a word to anybody, sat down across the hall, across the aisle. There was a couple of priests. They jumped up angry at him and said, man, you convicting us. He thought, I ain't said a word to you. The Holy Ghost did. He's in a vessel. So full. I wish I had a glass with some water in it. Praise the Lord. If you got a glass of water and it's full, I could set it right here and you could see a little bit over the top. If it's full, it's going to be edging and every little bump is going to cause it to splash out. Every little bump. It's going to cause it to splatter. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, that rock in the road that would sidetrack most people will only cause you to splatter some more of God around. When the Holy Ghost has come, that's going to reprove this world of sin. When you get bumped and you just bump and the Holy Ghost pops out of you because you're full. I mean, He's not a liquid like that. He is a He, the third person of the Godhead. But that influence is what you're full of. When you're bumped, amen, the story's told. I don't want to preach too long tonight. The story's told. Well, I heard your pastor preach long, so I can get by with it, I guess. Praise the Lord. The story is told. Let me tell you this, and you may have told it. Somebody here may have told it, and my wife tells me to do a disclaimer because I don't tell things just like they was. Here's my disclaimer. It may have not have been just like this. two preacher men went to the restaurant and sat down and ordered their meal. And the waitress come in and she trips or something and dumps her tray of water, tea, and Coke all over this preacher. He jumps up and storms out at her. You need to watch what you're doing. You need to get your mind on your job. Rawr! So they finally cleaned up and sat back down. Y'all heard the story. They finally settled down, got set back down. And so they're sitting there and the other preacher just kind of calmly just sitting there. And so he got a glass and set it over there close to the other preacher. And he got the water pitcher and he filled it all the way to the top. And he thought, what are you doing, brother? He said, when he did that, the water splashed all over him again. He said, what are you doing? He said, just trying to show you that whatever we're full of, when we're bumped, it's going to come out. He let him know he wasn't full of the Holy Ghost. I mean, you'll get excited. Somebody spills something all over you. But I think the Holy Ghost will be kind and affectionate and understanding. The Holy Ghost would say to you, you know, you could have been that waitress that possibly woke up that morning with a note laying on her dresser that her husband's gone. You could be that waitress that woke up that morning and got a call that her mother's at the point of death and you can't drive the 800 miles to get to her. You could have been that waitress that come in to work that morning and that boss just chewed her out for nothing of her fault at all. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, you'll stop and understand. And rather than being a comrade of sin, you'll reprove the world of sin. He said he'd reprove the world of judgment, of righteousness, because I go to my Father. When the Holy Ghost has come, that righteousness is so influential in your life. As I testified of Brother Prescott, the righteousness of God, not Brother Prescott's righteousness, but the righteousness of God flowing through him was so present that it convinced me. He didn't have to tell me he was the morning speaker in that meeting. He didn't have to tell me that he was saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. I knew it. When I got in His presence, when the Holy Ghost is come, He will convince the world of righteousness and of judgment. One thing about convincing of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, these three things, when the Holy Ghost is in us, we become sensitive to each one of these things. We become sensitive to sin to the effect that the least variation from God's plan frightens us, causes us to shiver at the thought of disobeying our Lord, causes us to be frightful and sensitive about the thought of God's righteousness that's available to me, causes me to be sensitive to the reality that God's going to bring judgment on my loved ones that are lost, and on people that are around me that are lost. When the Holy Ghost has come, and I tell this story, I don't usually tell a lot of stories, but as they're coming to me tonight, but brings us to a point to be like the little boy that was evangelist's son, and he had been cutting up and gotten a tangle with some other children. And his daddy took him back into one of the Sunday school rooms. Nobody knows what they do. Nobody knows, but the little child comes out just screaming, crying, boo-hooing, crawls under the seat in the van as they all go to go get something to eat after service, crying. And the mama's wondering, what did my husband do to that child? And so she finally gets down there where he's at. Little Johnny, did your daddy beat you that hard for your disobeying that you can't stop crying? Did he whip you that hard? What did he do? He said, what did he do, son? Daddy told me that he was disappointed in me. That's all it took, because he loved his daddy so much that the thought of disappointing him broke his heart. the Holy Ghost. I want to put him back where he belongs in our understanding. When the Holy Ghost is come, would you stand all over the room? Could somebody come to the piano? When the Holy Ghost is come, he'll cause us to be, we will be so sensitive to disobedience, to offending him, that it will literally tear our heart out at the thought of offending the holiness of God. Can we bow our heads at this time? Holy, holy, holy.
Hear me, saith the Lord. I desire for my spirit to dwell in you, to take up abode in you. But I cannot dwell in an unclean vessel. I will not, cannot, shall not dwell in an unclean vessel, saith the Lord. But I desire to live in you. I long to be in you. I long to walk with you, saith the Lord. But I cannot. As long as you engage in the things of this world, I can be no part. Have you not read? Have you not heard? I have told you through my word that a friendship of this world is enemy of me. Oh, make no friendship of this world, saith the Lord. Take up your abode with me, and I will live in you, saith the Lord. And I will work with you, saith the Lord. Come to me, give yourself to me, pour yourself out before me, saith the Lord. And I will live and abode in you, saith God.
Can you lift your hands in respect to the Holy Ghost tonight? Hallelujah. Well, God's dealing with your heart tonight. Would you move? Would you move? The Holy Ghost, the third person of the Godhead, has come into this room. He's coming here to convince you of sin if you're yet in your sins. He's coming here to tell you that Jesus loves you and Jesus wants to save you. He's coming here to tell you that He can lift that burden off of your heart tonight. He come in here to tell you that He can make your tomorrow a much brighter day. Would you come? Would you come tonight? Would you pray tonight? Would you earnestly seek His face in the name of Jesus?